Well, this morning as we are preparing to take communion, I want to exhort you in faith. And much of what we shall look at is what we know in Scripture, but what the Holy Spirit reveals in interpreting Scripture, I believe there's more to learn. Because faith comes by hearing, listening, reading, taking in. That is how faith comes. And in order to do that, we have to do what the children of Israel failed in doing. And that is mixing faith with that which we hear. And you may raise that question, well, how do you mix faith with that which you hear? Well, it's like the old ingredients you have when you cook. To make up a dish, to make a cake or whatever it is, you must have all the right ingredients. And you must have the right amount of ingredients. And so to the amount of the ingredients, that is the Holy Spirit's work. He knows how much flour spiritually is needed. He knows how many eggs. He knows if some baking powder is needed. He knows how much fat. He knows how much milk, liquid, and so forth. But all of that makes up the ingredient that at the end, when it's cooked, it's presented, it's palatable. And this is what God does, because the Word of God is food. It is spiritual food. And God is not going to give you something that's going to cause you to have an upset stomach. Or he's not going to give you something that has caused you to have food poisoning. Unless, of course, you decide that you want to go somewhere else and listen to a lot of the poison that does come out. I certainly do not. Because it takes a lot of undoing, a lot of deliverance, and quite frankly, we haven't the time. And you know, these people that want to go off here, there, and everywhere and listen to this and listen to that, let them do it. As far as I'm concerned, and I can only speak for this assembly, what God is giving us week after week and what he gives me occupies me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's what it does for me. And you know, if you're truly partaking of this word, you will find that, quite frankly, you don't need anything else. God is providing. The food is there. It is palatable. It is the right menu. It might not always be the right thing that you like or what you possibly may like. Whereas when you go to a restaurant, you can decide what you would like to eat. Well, God does provide the menu week after week, and on it, sometimes it's a bit hard to chew or take. But it's still the right menu. So this morning we're calling this, is it still the prayer of faith? That is a question that God raises this morning. Are you still praying the prayer of faith? Because that is essential. Now you know in Mark 11:24, it says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And the challenging part of this is that when you pray to God, when you pray, when you go in your closet, when you leave that closet, do you know that not only God has heard you, but that you have received in accordance to such scriptures like Mark 11? 24. Can you get up off your knees? Can you get off that chair? Come out from that room and say, God has heard me. I have received it. I have it in Jesus' name. Because that is the requirements of the prayer of faith. That is Mark 11:24. And Jesus clearly reveals that you can have what you ask if you don't doubt in your heart. That is what he said. Now, of course, if you have the Holy Spirit and he guides and leads you, and he leads you in his word, then you know what to ask. And you know that as you have asked, you get up off your knees, and there is no doubt at all. You are persuaded, you are influenced by God's promises, by the Holy Spirit that ministers. that as you come before God in faith, with a right heart, with clean hands and a pure heart, that you have confessed sin and all those things. Because he does say, doesn't he, in verse 25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, of course, in those two verses, Jesus reveals the big problem as to why so many professing Christians do not receive, why they're not experiencing Mark 11:24. He gives it there. He also says in the verse before, in verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So it's right in the context of 23:24, asking, not doubting. It's also asking, and that you can speak out. So he's giving us the idea of a dialogue with God when you come into his presence. You speak to him. You speak to him, and that mountain will be removed. And you do not doubt in your heart. Now, what are mountains? Well, these mountains tend to show us that they are obstacles to one's faith. They can be trials. They can be tests, as any mountain is. If you've ever tried climbing a mountain or getting over a mountain, getting over the other side, it's not easy. There's a lot of work involved, energy. And if man, engineers, if they can, they'll try and go through them, which they call tunnels, or they try and cut through them, you see? That's the nature of a mountain. And Jesus said, those very mountains you can speak, and they can be cast into the sea. Now, these mountains can be our trials and our tests. And you're going to go through those trials, and you're going to go through those tests. And those tests may be physical. Those tests may be emotional. Those tests may be financial. Those tests can be anything. But the Word of God says, speak to the mountains, speak to the obstacles, and they will be removed. And do not doubt in your heart. Ask whatever. Now, it's contrary to ask for God to take you out of that trial, because you know that is contrary to the Word of God. But you can ask in that trial, as you're meeting things or meeting obstacles, you can seek God through the trials. Why is it that going through a trial, we always assume every time that we don't hear from God? Suddenly God becomes deaf. That our trial is like Jesus' trial on the cross, when it seemed as though his Father had forsaken him. And some trials indeed can be like that, but it's only for a season. But the point is that in our trials, we can still talk to God. And God can still talk back, and God can show you what is part of the trial, what is part of the hindrance, where the battle or warfare is needed. We are still very slow in this assembly of understanding and learning about warfare. It seems that we have to go through until suddenly we wake up, it's warfare. Oh yeah, I see now, when God was probably trying to show you 3 weeks earlier. And you needn't have gone through what you had gone through. Because I believe that this is part of all of this with regard to prayer, because we're dealing with prayer. And in prayer, there are times and seasons when you simply have to go into warfare. That the powers of darkness have to be spoken to and addressed in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, of course, you have the Holy Spirit that guides and leads you in this. I've taught this on and off to you over the years. But the point that I'm making is, Satan wants to keep you battle fatigued. He fears that this assembly has light and understanding and authority in the name of Jesus. And he knows that this body knows how to wield and use that against him and the powers of darkness. So do you think he's going to sit back and just say, well, help yourself, go on, get you, enter my kingdom and divide it? Of course he's not. I tell you one of the things he's going to do, he's going to make you battle fatigued. He's just going to make you procrastinate. He's going to make you sort of just, general about it. And, oh well, we'll do it sometime or whatever it would be. No. If you are hearing from God and you come rightly into his presence, you will hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. And he will very often tell you that you need to get into warfare. You're not dealing with flesh and blood. You're dealing with powers, principalities. And that is the problem, isn't it? We still do not yet experience the fact that we are seated with him in heavenly places, high above power, principality, dominion. If you are experiencing that, and you are confessing that, and looking to that, you're going to then have, like those eagle's eyes, you're going to be able to start to look down. But what Satan wants to try and get you, he wants to keep you earthbound so that you have no vision, you can't see. You're not flying like an eagle should fly. Now, we know that an eagle is the bird that can fly the highest and can fly through the most adverse conditions. Nothing puts it off. And that is where we should be flying. If we're men and women of prayer and we take prayer seriously, one of the things prayer does is to cause you to fly high and to be able to look down and to be able to see the enemy and what he is up to. And that is where he's trying to trap you. That's where he's trying to hinder you. And he'll do that by battle fatigue. Oh, I'm fed up. I'm warfare. I'm sick and tired of it. I let somebody else do it. And that's what we do in this body. We're good at sitting back and letting somebody else do it. And we should not do that. We should come to this body prepared to minister, ready to be used, led by the Holy Spirit. How the Spirit leads. We're too easy to sit back and let a few just do the usual thing. And that is why sometimes the trials and tests that whether we go through individually or corporately are as they are. We should not do that. If we're growing up and maturing in Christ, one of the things that an adult does is that he or she becomes responsible. And that is essential. It's essential for prayer, everything that God wants to do in this assembly, because God wants to move us as a body, not just some going on, but we move as a body. And it's too easy to sit back and let the few say these prayers, let the few who prophesy, let the few exhort, or whatever it would be. It's quite easy to do that, because it doesn't cost me. But the point is that this walk is a cost, and it's going to cost you everything to make it in to the kingdom of God. And what is the cost? The cost is, here I am, Lord, I'm available, I'm willing to be used. Use me in whatever way you see fit. And I wish to be used, and if there are hindrances to my faith in causing me to be used, then please reveal it and remove it in your mercy and grace. Now, when saints start to mean business and speak to God in that way, then you're going to see your life starting to change. Because we've shown you on one side that we are hid. Joseph was hid, but Joseph was still active in prison. And the very fact that he was active and that they saw that there was something special about him and that he was used, that was the means, that was the stepping stone for him to eventually be released and to be finally used for what God had for him for the future. Now, how is God going to release you and use you if there is nothing that he sees that is stirring up within you, that he's trying to show you he can give. Why should he? Why should he? So even in the conditions that we're in, as I revealed to you about Revelation 12, the man-child, the child that is hid in the womb, that child is still developing, growing, moving. It is not something that's dead in a womb. Far from it. It is alive. And so therefore, you should be alive. Not alive in yourself, but alive with that which is within you. And that is Christ Jesus. For he is alive. As we often say, it's out of the innermost being shall flow those rivers of living water. So, Jesus speaks there about you asking in faith, not believing, that you might receive. But he also reveals one of the greatest hindrances, which I've read to you in verses 25 and 26. And it is about sin. It is about unforgiveness. It is about resentment. It's about that cross word that you said to someone, and so on. It's an attitude thing. It can be a sin of the tongue, or whatever it will be. So he says that when you stand praying, make sure you're cleansed, make sure it's confessed, it's brought out into the light, you bring it before the Lord. Because the enemy has a legal hold when you speak out in faith and speak to that mountain. And he has a hold and nothing will happen. And you certainly don't put him to flight, which we should be doing. Our prayers, whether as a body or individually, should be putting the powers of darkness to flight. Every time you pray, every time we pray as a body, we should be dividing further Satan's kingdom. That is its nature. That is its nature. Now, Jesus again, many times through the gospel, gives this absolute assurance, unequivocally, of asking without doubting. Again, in John 14, 12 to 14, you know this well. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do will he do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He brings it up again. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Several times he stresses that for a purpose and a reason. And what he's actually saying is, no, you didn't mishear what I said. I'll repeat it again. You heard right. Ask whatever in my name, and I will give it, that my Father may be glorified. So you didn't mishear it. We're also shown in Scripture, and we won't turn to it because I know that you know it well, the parable of the persistent widow, where she keeps knocking and knocking until the judge finally gets up and gives her what she wants. And so again we see that principle of faith in operation, connected with prayer. It is a knocking. It is a staying with it. It is not taking no for an answer. Now, it's not coming with regard to Mark 11, 24, and keep asking for the same thing. Because indeed, if you have asked, then you believe that God has heard you. And so you don't have to come again repeating the same prayer, because if you do, that's a clear sign that you didn't believe that God heard you the first time. And of course we like to do that when there's a delay. Well, I'll just go to the Lord again, just in case he's forgotten. You know, I need to just tell him again that I did pray that 6 months ago. Well, does God forget? I'll leave that one with you. No, what we do is when we ask, we thank him, we praise him, we stand waiting, believing, waiting for the manifestation of that which we ask of God. And whatever you are going through, whatever your trial, whatever your affliction, whatever, that is the principle in which you ask God, but without doubting. Now, I don't think it's wrong. If you've heard this morning, I don't think it's wrong if you go before the Lord and say, Father, I've heard what the pastor has said this morning, and I want to glorify your name in what I've heard this morning. I want to apply your word, Mark 11:24. But I sense there's still that doubting in my heart. I am not absolutely confident with what I'm hearing, and I want to be. And I believe there's nothing wrong in approaching God in that way and asking him that if there's doubts, that he will deal with those doubts, because those doubts, unbelief, are sin. And I've said to you, I've already said sin, which he mentions in those two previous next verses about unforgiveness and so forth. It's all sin. Unbelief is sin. You can't ask God because there's sin there. If there is unbelief there, which you know, you can't ask God. And we have tried to ask him. We have ignored it, or we've put it under the carpet, or it doesn't exist, or God knows anyway, he knows my heart, and he'll get me to that place. You can't ask God in faith. If there is sin, you can't ask him. Why? Because it's obvious. He won't answer. God is most holy. He can't look upon sin. He can't look upon unbelief. So, how is it dealt with? This is why we have the Holy Spirit. And he comes to expose unbelief. He comes to expose sin. He comes to expose those things. And that is why I'm a great believer that when you come into the presence of God, you are not too quick to start asking from God. And if you knew who you are asking from, you would think twice before asking. Simply because you are asking of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, the heavens. You are asking him. And it is essential that we learn how to approach a most holy God. And that is why the faith message, a lot of it has become so corrupt, so cheapened. And why a lot of it has not worked, and why so many now are resentful toward it, are scathing, angry to God, and so forth. And of course, all that is sin. It's because we couldn't be honest and face the sin factor that was the problem. Well, we know that God, in his mercy, is dealing with that sin in our lives, in this church. And I know he's dealing with unbelief in my life. But for me to stand and to ask in his presence, I have to meet those conditions. And this is where you depend utterly, totally upon the Holy Spirit, who can and will do that. I've already said to you, if you want that, then you ask of God. Because God wants prayers to be answered. Why does he want prayers to be answered? Because it's about the glorifying of his name. You are dealing with his glory with regard to prayer. And to pray in unbelief does not glorify God. And so we have to take that seriously. We may only understand that in a theological way. And so we need to have that imparted to us. How do you feel? I need to know. I need to understand in the most limited way that I can. But I need to know what this does to you when it doesn't glorify your name. And God will touch us in that. He'll begin to show us. He'll show us his heart so that we can then think twice before we open our mouths about praying the prayer of faith. You see? I'm bringing these things out because Children wouldn't understand what I'm saying. Children don't ask that sort of thing. Whereas mature Christians that are growing up into adulthood do. And there's the difference. You see, I believe prayer is also learnt by the church when it prays as well. When we come together and we unite our faith and we bring our petitions before God, that is powerful. And we should have more prayer in our meetings. But if you don't bring those prayers, or if you don't speak out for prayer, then a church cannot become a praying church. There are certain things that we pray on, and it's right to pray. We prayed this morning thanking the Lord for these meetings that we're able to come and not be persecuted. But we should also be a praying church that prays, that brings these things. Sometimes maybe to stand with someone who's going through a trial. Some of you are going through a physical trial, and maybe the only way you're going to get delivered and set free is to maybe speak out and say, "Would you stand with me for prayer? I'm going through a trial. Could we unite our faith in agreement and oneness?" And that may be the very means of you being healed. We have to learn how God wants to heal you, how God wants to bless you, how he wants to meet your needs. You've got to learn to do it God's way. And God does not fit a pattern. No way. You know that. By the way, Jesus ministered. Jesus never ministered ever the same way. He was totally open by the Holy Spirit to minister in the most diverse ways that he did. Ways very often past finding out. And so you see, it is important when we're open to God, and when we're open and we come with those prayers, we come lifting those prayers together in agreement, there's power. If one is believing, and if five is believing, and if 10 is believing, and if 20 is believing, what chance do the powers of darkness have? And yet we still let the old enemy in. We still listen to his voice. "Oh, I tried last time. Nothing happened. Don't talk to me about faith. Don't talk to me about Mark 11:24. I've yet to see it happening." And we listen, don't we? We listen to the enemy. We need to be very, very careful, because he's very subtle how he works. You see, a prayer life is essential if you wish to ask and receiving by faith. Why do I say a prayer life is essential? I'm talking now individually. Because you have to be taught and learned by the Holy Spirit. A prayer life isn't just now and again a quick prayer, or just get in the closet for 2 minutes and let's pray Mark 11:24. You're not going to receive anything that way. You've got to meet conditions for Mark 11:24, and God's got to see, do you take prayer seriously? Do you take talking to me seriously? Do you value relationship? Do you value hearing from me as well as you talking to me? See, that's what he's asking, because that's what it's about, you see. I believe the devil will attack more with prayer than probably anything else. And I know that from experience in my own life. If he can keep you away from prayer, he succeeded. Oh, to a certain extent, he won't mind you coming to the meeting once a week and sit and listen to a sermon. But if he can keep you away from discipleship, from prayer, he succeeded. And he's going to attack you more in that area than anything. Why? Because that is where his hold is broken over your life and circumstances. That is where he knows the power lies. And that, of course, is why he probably doesn't want such a message like this preached today. And probably he tries to hinder, keep one away, or whatever it would be. But if we have taken seriously what we have heard today, then he's trembling. And he's certainly going to tremble when you bring up such a teaching and message about prayer and the prayer of faith. Because the prayer of faith divides Satan. The prayer of faith, the speaking prayer, casts those mountains into the sea, which Jesus said they will do. So that's where he's really going to attack. That's why I'm convinced that this assembly needs still more breakthroughs with regard to prayer and a praying life. And I think the enemy has got a foothold with some, and this is why God is addressing this, and you've got to get him off your back. And the way you get him off your back is you start praying. You get into that closet, you start to talk to your Heavenly Father. And when you start taking that seriously, you're suddenly going to find the Holy Spirit raises you up, you're quickened, and up it comes, and you're led by the Spirit. And suddenly you speak out the prayer of faith. There it is, and you speak to that mountain, and it's cast into the sea. And it happens because you're led by the Spirit. It's not just you doing it as a good idea, but it's being led by the Spirit of God. And the only way you're going to be led by the Spirit of God is to have a prayer life, is to start. And it's the quality time. It's not everyone having to do an hour a day praying. Wish to God that we did. But the point that I'm making is you start somewhere. Because for your circumstances to change, and for you to see things changing, or in your family, or with your children, or with your finances, or with whatever it would be, with a physical, that is the key, is the prayer life, every time. Because there's no shortcuts. Mountains are real, and they have to be conquered. And they have to be done God's way, you see. And what God is doing is he's showing you that the power of prayer is dunamis, is powerful. And what deals with mountains? Well, you guessed it. Explosives. Dynamite. Because it's rock. That is the nature of your trials, your obstacles. The nature of them is rock. And nothing else can penetrate rock than drilling, dynamite, explosive. And he says the prayer of faith is explosive. And what makes it explosive is that you speak to the powers of darkness. You go into an effective warfare. That's the power. That's the dynamite in action. That is what pushes the lever down and for the explosion. Anybody can connect all the wires, and the connection is important. But the ultimate test of all those connections is when that old lever goes down. Woof! The whole thing goes up and explodes. And there's nothing worse. When they've done all their work, done all the connections and everything, they all stand back with bated breath and somebody's there with the lever and down it goes and nothing happens. What a letdown. Huh? What a letdown. And that's what our praying is. We've done all of that. Come in. I've got all the connections right. Here's the dynamite. Here it is. Down it goes. Oh, nothing. Oh, it doesn't work. And you listen to the devil. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Didn't get the wiring right. Didn't get all the connections right. Something somewhere was missing. You know? That's all it is. That's why it didn't go off. And that's the same with our prayer. A connection somewhere has broken. Now, the only way you know for a connection to be put back together is that the Holy Spirit gives you light, revelation on it. And what is the Holy Spirit doing this morning? He's giving light. He's giving revelation on why some of us, our prayers are not being answered. Why things are going wrong. Probably you're sitting there and you're thinking, I see something. Hang on, there's a light gone on. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit showing you. See? And that's what he wants to do. Because this must work. Mark 11:24, which is one of the basic principles of the deeper life. Because the deeper life is moving in the Spirit. And to move in the Spirit, you have to speak to those obstacles that hinder you from pressing in deeper. Do you honestly think the devil wants you to go deeper with God? No way. He's not going to stand back and say, help yourself. He is going to wage a very subtle, effective warfare against you. And at times, sadly, he succeeds. Now the point is, you have an option. You have a choice. You can decide and say, enough is enough. Whatever this takes, Lord, I'm out for change. Because we have to move on. God's moving on. And you see, you cannot stay in one position. You can't stay. God will not let us be comfortable. And human nature, flesh, likes to be comfortable. Let's leave me where I am. I'm quite happy, you know. You know, I come to church and hear a good sermon and, you know, it's all hunky-dory. No, God doesn't work that way. God says, enough. You've now got to move on. You've got to move to the next plateau and the next plateau. That is the pressing in. That is the birthing of the man-child. And, of course, as I spoke the other week, where is the devil with regard to the man-child? Well, he's right there, trying to abort, trying to disencourage. He's trying to speak out like that lion, that roaring lion, and sadly at times we listen to it, don't we? Because that's all he is. He's simply just a roaring lion. Why is he referred to as a lion? Well, I'm told that the cat, the lion, probably has the loudest cry amongst animals. And I'm told that a lion, when it roars, it can be heard in the jungle up to 4 miles away. It's so loud. That's why God uses the lion. But that's all it can be, is simply heard. So it makes a big noise. You know, we live in a society today and a culture that makes big noises. Have you thought about that? It's unbelievable. Everything's loud now, whether it be from music, rock music, pop music. It's all got to be turned on loud. Even when you go into shops, sometimes you can go into shops, you can't think. You know, when you're trying to work something out, or, you know, you want to buy something and you're working finances, whatever it is, you almost have got to get out of the shop just to think. You know, it can't just be me, surely. Well, some of you are laughing now, I'm not quite sure how to take that one. You know, and everything is loud. And I noticed that there's now complaints, they're wanting to pass a law. This is the latest one. It's mostly chaps. You've got these cars that go cruising down the road set. And the noise that comes out, you know, you feel it. It vibrates through you. And you think they're hearing, you know. And it's so cool there with the shades on and arm out, you know, as they're going along. And you know, they now want to pass law because there's so much of it. And not that I watch a lot of it, but sometimes, you know, if you're waiting for the news to come on or you're waiting to watch an interesting program, and you hear these sort of celebrity shows and various shows like that, and the noise that's attached to them, the cheering and clapping, they're all sort of hyped up, you know, because I'm told this is what they do in the studios before these live shows start. They get these people come on and they start to stir them up, get the spirit going, and so they make a racket, a sound, you see. So it sounds good. We live in an age of noise, blaring out, a load of hot air. Well, they're just trying to copy the devil. Because that's all the devil does. He makes a noise. And I'm sure if a lion roared, We'd probably run away, even though it's in a cage and can't even get to you. It's the noise, the sound that disturbs us. Well, we have to overcome that. We have to overcome the emotions, the hype, and how Satan controls in the emotions and the hype today. People are held by this. And what holds it with all of this? Also, fear and so on. These are spirits of fear that attach to these things. Well, we're being delivered. And we're being delivered from the sound, the Satan. Because that's all it is. It's a load of hot air. And it cannot touch you. It can be no threat to you. Power has been taken from him. And the power of God has been now put into you. And we need to experience that and move into that. And God will do that. And so, is it still the prayer of faith? The question that God has raised this morning. Well, only you can answer that. And you will answer that if you are humble and you're honest before God. Or maybe you're going to have to get clean before God and say, Lord, I'm not praying the prayers of faith that I once used to. I once embraced this. I was hot with this, but somehow I've just become cavalier. I've just drawn back, battle fatigue, listened too much to sell the devil and his lies. I need a change. That's how you're going to have to approach God. And you know that one, because God wants this church to be a praying church. Not only a praying church, but a praying effective church. That every prayer, we put the powers of darkness to flight. If we want to see breakthroughs for this year, if you want to see changes in your life, if you're sick and tired of just going over the same old thing and things not working, when you hear week after week all the promises of God coming out, and yet my life, I don't seem to be living it. There's the problem. Gone right to the root of the problem. It's because a prayer life is needed, is essential. And an effective prayer life. A prayer life where you are speaking to those mountains and they remove in the name of Jesus. Got to keep in the spirit. Got to keep in tongues. Sing to the Lord. When you drive into work, sing some praises. Joy of the Lord's my strength. Just sing, communicate, talk, keep in time. Got to keep in that place. God's really showing us now what it is to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Absolutely essential. Amen.